Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
You know what that music means? Limits? Everybody loves Raymond. Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. You can read his story today, the headline of which is a look beyond the smoke screens at Steelers' off-season plan. What do you mean by that, Ray? What was the theme of this story? What were the smoke screens?
Well, if you look at it, the way that Mike talked about Shedeur Sanders last week, I think he was more than willing to lead people down a road that Shedeur was a possibility, for the Steelers. But I think the larger point for the story was that, Joe, if you pay attention to the pre-draft visits during Omar's first 3 years, of his 21 draft picks, 12 of those guys have come in for visits. So the Steelers are constantly dropping clues, you know, throughout the pre-draft process. If you, you know, want to be a prognosticator and try to figure out which direction they're going. I thought Mike Tomlin also said something that was very telling on Saturday when he and Omar were wrapping up this draft. He basically said that the receivers coming out this year, not specific players, but the entire group, wasn't all that deep. And he said the same thing about the corners. So I think that's why they acquired DK Metcalf when they did. And that's why they went out and got Darius Slay and Brandon Echols in free agency when they did as well.
Ray, would you like to start out not with a game of free association, but perhaps another game with Limits and I?
Sure, let's do it.
The game is called Have They Improved or Not? So let's look at each position group, and we're going to say whether this group is better than what the Steelers had last season.
Okay.
I'll start with quarterbacks, and I will say, you can say better, the same, or worse, what you think they'll be this year, in other words.
Okay.
And I'm going to say even with Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback room is worse. What say you?
I think if Aaron Rodgers comes, Joe, I think it'll be slightly better, but I don't think it's going to be markedly better.
Wonder Twin?
I think that it will be better, but similar to Ray, I don't think it's going to be significantly.
So why, I would ask, and any one of us, by the way, after a certain position group is analyzed, can pipe up with a question. I want you to feel free to do that, Ray. Why do we think Aaron Rodgers and or Mason Rudolph will be better than Fields and Wilson? Because I thought while they weren't great by any means, they weren't horrible either. I mean, they were at times pretty good.
Yeah, I think, Joe, you have to take Fields out of the equation. And I just look at the way the season ended with Russell Wilson. Things were not going well over that final five game stretch where they lost every single game and it wasn't really competitive. So I think if Aaron Rodgers comes in and he could play a full 17-game season, I think that was an issue last year with Wilson getting hurt. I don't think he ever really had that ramp up with new teammates that he needed. I think if Aaron is here, 17-game starter, there will be more continuity and they will be a little bit better, like I said.
Will you endorse what Ray just said, limits?
I will. Look, I don't think that. I think that there's a gap between Rodgers and Rudolph. Maybe it's not as big between Wilson and Fields compared to Rodgers. I do think it is there, especially as just a pocket passer, where I think it's maybe a two-win difference. But other than maybe winning one playoff game, they're not going any further than that.
Ray Fittipaldo brought to you by the Western PA injury attorneys, Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG, your home team. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the fan hotline on which Ray Fittipaldo is speaking is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The running back room, better, the same, or worse? And I think the real significant change, obviously, is you're replacing Caleb Johnson. You're replacing Najee Harris with Caleb Johnson. And Ray, thank God Cordarrelle Patterson is still here. Better, the same, or worse?
It's got to be better, Joe. I think Caleb Johnson is a much better fit for this offense, and I think that's going to be worth a lot. And then Kenneth Gainwell for Patterson. I mean, even if Patterson is still on the roster, Kenneth Gainwell is a much better player, and I think he'll be better if he gets those touches. So, I think they got a chance to be significantly better at running back, I think.
Twin Cities?
I agree with every syllable and half syllable that Ray said about Kenneth Gainwell. I think that Gainwell obviously didn't play much because they have that guy, Saquon Barkley, was pretty good in his opportunities in Philly. Somewhat pretty decent speed. And Caleb Johnson, Joe, yeah. I can't wait to see all the pitch outs that the Arthur Smith offense throws to him, because apparently that's what they're going to do a lot with him, and he fits the offense well.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
I hope we see a game against the Bengals where they bring in the frozen cadaver of Cordarrelle Patterson and give him a pitch out on third and one like they did last year.
When the fourth quarter comes around and there's 10 minutes left, that's Cordarrelle time. He's like the closer warming up in the bullpen.
Ray, there's a big question mark here for me. I hate to say I don't know, because that's not exactly a hot take, but a lot of times with these draft picks, it seems like everybody makes assumptions. Are we just assuming that Caleb Johnson is superior to Najee? I hope he is. I'm excited to watch him. I'm a longtime connoisseur of running back play ever since I was a child, but I don't know if this guy, is he going to be a breakaway type runner, explosive type runner? I don't know. His college stats were better that way than Najee's, but that, to me, that's the big question. Is he significantly better than Najee? More explosive?
I'm with you. If you look at the body types, they are a little bit similar. You know, Caleb Johnson only ran a 4.57 in the 40 at the combine, but if you listen to Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin talk over the weekend, they really poo-pooed that. They were like, this guy has game speed. You know, we watched him on tape. We are not worried about his speed whatsoever. So I think they are getting a faster back. Now, is he going to be the home run hitter that they want? I don't know if he's going to be that with that 40 time, but I do think he's going to be significantly more explosive than Najee Harris was.
That's the question. And yes, his game tape did show that. I hope that translates. And I think that Jaylen Warren being healthy will make a big difference. And I think Gainwell is a definite upgrade on what was essentially Cordarrelle's job last year. So a chance to be way better, but I got to see it. Wide receiver, we all agree, is better, obviously, right? With DK Metcalf.
Yeah, I mean, you're banking on DK Metcalf. George is back. Still some unanswered questions with Roman Wilson and Robert Woods and how 3, 4, and 5 are going to play out. But, Joe, if you look at the top two, yes, they are better.
Let me ask you this, Ray. If things get ugly early in camp with old George, might that change and might he get traded then?
I don't know what the trade market would be like in August. I think the trade market would be much better for the Steelers, say, around Halloween, near the deadline when – teams are looking for pieces to make a run. So I think now that he's on the roster now, I think trade deadline early November is probably the best place they're going to move him.
Tight end is literally the same. So let's go to the offensive line.
Don't shortchange Mykal Pruitt. I don't think he's back.
No, that's true. The whole franchise could fall apart.
Mykal Pruitt, your Cole Pruitt. Everyone loves Pruitt.
The offensive line, Ray, is it going to be better, the same, or worse?
Well, it's pretty much the same, except for Fa'utanu coming back. So,
and Broderick Jones taking over for Dan Moore.
Yeah. So if you are a believer that Broderick Jones, if his development stalled because he was on the right side, then I can see some people saying it's going to be better. I'm not necessarily in that boat. I think Jones has to improve no matter what, whether he's on the left side or the right side. Listen, with Fa'utanu coming back, a lot of people thought he was the best lineman when he got hurt. So, again, I'll say about the same or slightly better just because of Troy Fa'utanu.
Oof. I'm going to say the same with fears of slightly worse if Broderick Jones flops at left tackle. I'm a little bit concerned about that. Limits, what do you say?
I'm on slightly better, slightly. Dan Moore, I think, got overpaid by Tennessee in the open market. I do think that Fa'utanu coming back is going to help them a lot on that right side. And another year for McCormick, because I think McCormick's going to be good, but there were some struggles last year. Frazier anchoring that line, slightly better.
What's your favorite hors d'oeuvre, Ray? If you sit down at a restaurant, are you getting the Bavarian pretzel? Are you getting a little spinach dip? What do you usually get when they say, do you want an appetizer?
I usually let my kids pick, and invariably, Joe, they pick mozzarella or provolone sticks. So probably one of the two.
And will you indulge in one or two based on their choices?
At my age, probably not the best decision, but yes, I'll have one.
Limits, when I took you and Donnie out, Donnie was all over the appetizers. He orders the lobster mac and cheese. He orders the Brussels sprouts, but it's just up to you. What are you getting as an appetizer? Do you generally go for appetizers?
And we also got mashed potatoes, but I don't think I'd consider that an appetizer.
No, that was part of the meal.
I am a huge boneless wings or mozzarella sticks fan. My sister and I went to dinner when I was up visiting her at Penn State last weekend.
Yeah.
And we got a little tray of boneless wings before our meal came out.
Gigantic move, Ray. I've become a big fan of the fried calamari. I never was, but you get that stuff with cocktail sauce. It's absolutely incrinculant. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Calamari has to be fried for me. I can't eat it any other way.
Likewise. Yeah. Mason McCormick is a question on the line too, Ray. I thought they might draft somebody or sign somebody. They appear ready to move forward with McCormick. Do you like that line of thinking?
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's why they drafted him in the fourth round. They wanted to develop him. Was he pressed into duty early? Yeah, he was. And it wasn't perfect. I think going into his second year, he's an older guy. I think he's already 25. So I think the expectation is he'll be better. So, yeah, I'm okay with him sticking at right guard.
All right, let's move to the defense. We're playing a little game of better, the same, or worse for each position group. Now that the offseason is essentially finished with the Aaron Rodgers question looming out there, we've had the draft, we've had free agency, we've had comings and goings. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, the defensive line, the reflexive response here is, of course, they're better. They just got Derek Harmon in the draft. I tend to agree, but there's also another big question mark. And as much as I love Cam Hayward, he was fabulous for most of last season. He then wound up sort of getting banged up and was not very productive over the last five games. And the dude has played 211 games.
Yeah.
He's going to be 36. So I could see a scenario where Harmon comes in and is really good, but where Cam starts to fade. I hate to say that, but my God, Father Time wins, especially when you're on at that position on the defensive line, Ray. So I think they'll be better, but I fear for Cam based on age and based on, you know, he sort of did fade at the end of last year.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's interesting. You know, they have a lot they're all in on their 36-year-old future Hall of Famer and the young guys. And, like, all the guys in between, all these guys, they've accumulated in the draft. They're just kind of there, right? Like, guys like DeMarvin Leal and Loudermilk and, you know, some of these other guys, they're just kind of, you know, what have they done in the NFL to make you think that they are going to be even, like, rotational players? So, I'll go slightly better just because of the pedigree of Harmon, but again, you're counting on rookies and the 36-year-old to be, you know, your core of that group, and that's a little bit tough.
It's
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Interesting. Daniel Ukulele is one of the backups here. Limits, did you play an instrument when you were a child?
Oh, yes. You ready for this one? Everybody sit down to hear this. In the fourth grade, I played the clarinet for 1 year. The clarinet for 1 year. I hope everybody was sitting down as they burst out in laughter for that one.
I can absolutely picture a little Limits playing the clarinet. Ray, up in his room with the music stand.
I had to quit the clarinet because I never practiced and I got yelled at by my parents.
The horrible clarinet sounds resounding through the house. Can't you picture it?
I can. Everyone plays the recorder, right? Like, some people play an instrument, but everyone goes through elementary school and at least does the recorder. So.
Did you play another instrument, Ray? Maybe a little tuba, anything like that?
I think through elementary school, I think like fourth, fifth, sixth grade, I did trumpet. I don't think I did trumpet.
I did trumpet and trombone and viola. I did viola. Viola in third grade. I quit.
You know, my favorite is the kid who like kind of wants to be a part of it, but they don't know where to put them in the ensemble.
Yeah.
So they're just banging the triangle four or five times in the performance.
I played the viola, Ray, and I quit. I walked off the field like LeGarrette Blount at the end of his Steelers career. And then I played the trumpet, and we were in a state competition, and I didn't know my part, and I've never been so horrified in my life when we walked into that place, and I thought everybody's gonna laugh at me, basically, and they did. And then I played the trombone, and I did a book report on it and found out the French name for a trombone is a sack butt.
Hmm.
But that's beside the point, Ray. How about the linebackers?
Outside, undoubtedly better. I think Jack Sawyer upgrade over Preston Smith and Jeremiah Moon. You hope TJ, like Cam, you hope that he can continue to play well into his 30s. Inside, basically the same, right? They didn't really make any moves inside. I guess Malik Harrison for Landon Roberts, but that doesn't move the needle much.
Yeah, I'm going to say better. I thought Highsmith was banged up at times. I think Patrick Queen, maybe second year in the same system. And then Peyton Wilson is an interesting guy to me. I think he started to play faster as the year wore on. And then you add Jack Sawyer to this list. I think actually Malik Harrison is a downgrade from Roberts. But I think they have a chance to be better. I'm going to say better. Limits?
I'm sorry, I'm picturing you playing the cymbals right now, trying to get that out of my mind. I think they're going to be...
I was one hell of a sack butt player.
Yeah, were you?
I was, yeah.
I think they'll be slightly better, and I really like the Sawyer addition. I want to find a way for them to get Nick Herbig on the field more. That might just naturally happen because of injuries.
The problem was, Limits, when they got him on the field more, it was diminishing returns.
Yeah, kind of a problem.
Do you agree with that, Ray?
A little bit, but here's the thing I want to see. I want to see Peyton Wilson on the field more, but they're paying Malik Harrison $5 million a year, so you know you're going to play him. I thought Peyton Wilson earned an opportunity to maybe be a three-down linebacker, but the acquisition of Harrison makes me think that they're still sort of looking at him as a sub-package guy.
Mark Robinson's been here longer than Cam Hayward. I mean, why is he still here? Special teams, or what is happening here? Every year he's going to be a run stopper, and he just drops lower on the depth chart.
Isn't Carson Bruner his replacement? I mean, maybe Mark Robinson. This is the last year of his rookie contract, so maybe he makes it again as a special teamer, but I think they drafted Carson Bruner to be that guy, so I wouldn't be surprised if Bruner made it over Robinson this year.
Let's break up the secondary into two parts. The corners, are they going to be better, the same, or worse?
Joe, I'm going to say worse. They didn't want to bring back Dante Jackson, but Dante Jackson led them in interceptions with five. You're replacing him with a 34-year-old veteran, and I know there's some pedigree there, but just the way they go year to year with this position, they keep punting on it every single year, never really turns out for them, so I'm going to say worse.
Holy horse milk. I'm going to say better. I thought the interceptions were one thing. I thought by the end of the year, he was getting smoked like a salmon on a regular basis, Ray.
He was hurt. He had that back issue.
Well, okay. But I think Darius Slay still has some good football left in him. I think, and let's hope Joey Porter takes, I think this is a bounce back year for him. I thought he took a step back. And then hopefully, I'm including the nickelback here. Brandon Echols, I guess, will be the guy, right? Beanie Bishop, it seems like nobody likes him, even though he makes interceptions.
Yeah, Beanie and Echols will compete for that. And, like, this isn't a criticism of Slay. It's probably more of a criticism of them and just the way they approach that position. It's like the quarterback position. They just keep bringing guys in every year, and they're not really developing guys. So that's kind of why I'm down on them.
Limits, the corner is going to be better, the same, or worse?
I'm kind of with Ray. I think they're going to be worse. I like Joey Porter
Holy
Jr.
horse follicles.
I like Joey Porter Jr. a lot, but I am concerned by what
I saw
from him.
Why isn't Ray on the YouTube thing? Why isn't he on TV?
No power, Joe. I'm still without power.
No, that makes sense. I'm sorry.
That comes back soon for you, Ray.
Yeah, me too. And I interrupted you, Limits, and I apologize.
That's okay. Just like I hope the Joey Porter Jr. of his rookie year comes back soon. He was getting really grabby and drawing a lot of penalties. I think maybe even some wide receivers saw that on tape and were trying to either bait him into it.
Yeah, I agree.
And
Ray, I think it's fair to ask. We were looking at Omar Khan as the con artist, some sort of genius for that draft where he got, they got both positions of great need. Man, I think the entire fate of that draft class hangs in the balance here because I think Broderick Jones and Joey Porter Jr. took steps back. Do you agree?
I do agree. I think it's a huge year for Jones. I think you're right about Porter, too. I don't think his decline was as steep as Jones's was, but he's got to take a step forward. If they're going to sign him to a second contract, he's got to step up this year and, prove to them that he's worth it.
All right, Ray, forget about special teams. Nobody cares. Let's go with the safeties, Minka and Deshaun Elliott. I mean, it's the exact same guys. However, my concern is the decline of Minka, and my theory is, the one thing I would never, ever criticize Minka for is putting his body on the line, and I think he's, 28 or so? And his body is, he's going to turn 29 next season. It feels to me like the body's 35. I don't know, man. I sense a decline here. I think that's one of the reasons they were looking at some of those really talented safeties. So I worry. I think the safeties are going to be worse.
You know what the amazing thing is? Even with Minka only having one interception, Joe, they were still tied for first in the NFL in forced turnovers with 33. So, Terrell Austin, like that defense was, they were like top 12 in total defense. They were top 10 in scoring defense. But I give him credit because they found ways to turn the ball over even without Minka being Minka. They've had to do that for 2 years now. So, listen, it's been 2 years. Like, for us to sit here and say it's going to get better next season, man, that's just lip service. I can't sit here and tell you that they will. It seems to me like there was a little bit of a chemistry problem last year with Minka and some of those other guys back there. So, look, if they can sort that out, if they can get on the same page, maybe you hope for an uptick there. But that just kind of – it seems like it's a very – stagnant position right now, and they're just sort of waiting on those guys to age out so they could replace them.
Limits very quickly, better, same, or worse for the safeties?
I think they're going to be the same, but if they're going in any direction up or down, I think it's starting to go down.
I agree.
I have been a little bit of a Minka defender at times.
Yeah.
Because of just, I don't like how the way that they utilize him. I like Elliott a lot, but Minka, man, it doesn't look the same.
I think we all just said in so many words that they're going to be maybe a slightly better team, maybe, Ray. What's your preference in pasta?
You mean the kind of pasta or
yeah.
the sauce?
Yeah, the actual kind of pasta. Rotini, rigatoni,
penne.
Linguine, penne, spaghetti.
What do you like? Very simple, just like a thin spaghetti. Not angel hair, just a thin spaghetti.
And your preference in sauces?
I'll probably go vodka sauce is my favorite.
Limits you with him on that?
Yeah, that's good too. My aunt makes a really good fettuccine, Alfredo.
And I was just going to, I have Alfredo for lunch, which is why I asked. Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys, maybe West Penn Power can get my power back on and I can see you guys in person next week.
That'd be great. Take care, buddy.
See you guys. Bye.
Wonderful man, is he not?
I have to read you the text line.
What's it saying?
The text line has been blowing up
with
on
your clarinet
me
practice?
Playing the clarinet. And usually it might be like one person that will text in multiple things. No, this is multiple
people. It's blown
people.
Up.
Limits, did you go to band camp, install Ron Cook Laugh?
That one time at band camp, you absolutely went to band camp.
I did
camp.
Not go to band
yes,
camp.
You
no,
did.
I'm 1,000%
I
being
can see
for
Limits
real,
packing up not. His clarinet off to band camp in I don't know, Zelianople or somewhere, and you spending a week at band camp.
I played it for 1 year, and I was kind of bored with it, so I never practiced. And my parents were always mad at me for not practicing the clarinet. So I'd go into like a back room and just play it for like 10 minutes. And be like, all right, clarinet practice is done. The child Limits idealized Woody Allen while mastering the clarinet. Let's go, Limits, another texter says. Clarinet Nation, LOL. So these are the two best ones. I envision Limits looking like Squidward ripping the clarinet around the house.
That's what I was thinking of when you first mentioned it was Squidward.
And here's
yes.
the best one. Sounds through the neighborhood as Limits sits in his rock box playing the clarinet. Very good texture.
Little
very
Limits.
Good.
Wow, is that a sight? Little Limits practicing his clarinet in his rock box.
While I wear my welding mask.
Seems borderline tragic, but also funny.
I had a really good childhood.
I know
growing
you
up.
Did. Your parents are amazing. Amazing people. I love
very
them.
Very fortunate, yes.
Very clear on all fronts that they raised a wonderful man. And
they did their best.
They did their best.
Enter I'm not perfect anyway.
Ross Tucker has been on pretty much all our shows at one time or another here at The Fan. I like him very much. He's never shy with an opinion. And his opinion of this Aaron Rodgers thing and the Steelers quarterback room as a whole or quarterback, the way they've gone about trying to shore up the room, well, we'll let it speak for itself. He says on Good Morning Football, these are the Pittsburgh Steelers, okay? And they're still waiting for this guy to decide if he wants to play. We have this?
I got it.
I thought you didn't have it, and I was trying to cover up for you, Limits. You're busy practicing your clarinet, and I'm out here trying to do a show. All right, let's hear it.
Here's Ross.
They shouldn't be waiting at all anymore. They should have moved on yesterday, or actually before the draft. Every team... With every decision is making a cost-benefit analysis.
Okay.
For Aaron Rodgers, what is the potential benefit? Maybe win a playoff game? I doubt it, by the way. They're not beating the Bills or the Chiefs or the Ravens. Meanwhile, what's the negative? They're still a year further away from finally figuring out their long-term answer at the position post-Big Ben. Then you have all the weird interviews and everything that goes along with Aaron Rodgers.
Weird interviews.
These are the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're still waiting for this guy to decide if he wants to play. By the way, if a guy's waiting this long to decide whether or not they want to play, they don't really want to play. I think he wants to stay relevant, so I think he will play for the Steelers. But this doesn't make any sense, either short-term or long-term, for Pittsburgh, in my mind.
I just agree with everything he said. Do you? At 412-928-9370. And I'm not gonna go much deeper into the Aaron Rodgers stuff today because I can't take it anymore. Limits. It's like when your family was listening to you practice the clarinet. I'm sure they wanted you to practice more, but they also wanted you to stop.
Yes, hot cross buns on the recorder and the clarinet were some of the most frequent songs that were being
uttered. What are the other songs that we learned when we're first? There's a classic one that I can't think of the name.
Yeah,
of.
There is. I can't remember. It probably tells you because I didn't practice very much that I can't remember what songs I was supposed to be playing.
Songs you learn when beginning an instrument, I'm typing into Google. There's one that's just classic. What is it? The texters will get it at 928-9370. It's on the tip of my tongue. And when my parents wanted me to play the piano, they wanted me to, well, I did play the trumpet, as I mentioned, and the trombone. And I think I mentioned that the French name is a sackbutt. Did I?
Just once or twice, yes.
Yeah. Hot cross buns is on here, of course.
Hot cross buns is so easy. It's like,
that's exactly it.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
Yeah.
Every family that has ever had a kid play an instrument has had to suffer through that song. What's the worst instrument that a family has to listen to, especially in a small house?
The tuba, probably the tuba.
I think it's the violin.
Really?
Yeah, the horrifying screeching sound of someone who can't play the violin.
Oh, if it's played well enough, like there's somebody at our church that plays the violin like maybe twice a year and it sounds like really nice and everybody gets up and claps for it.
It's a beautiful instrument when played well.
Could you imagine the screeching of the violin though?
Yeah, we heard it. From I think every kid, and we have five of them in my household, played either the violin or the viola, which I still don't know the difference between the two. And it was horrifying. We all had to pretend it wasn't because, you know, they're out there giving it the old college try. So you couldn't laugh or yell at them to stop, right?
The old college try in the fifth grade trying to play the viola and the violin.
But Ross Tucker's exactly right. I mean, this has become embarrassing. It really has. It doesn't matter anymore. Like, there is no deadline, I guess, training camp. But it's just, it's ridiculous. And when he says that, these are the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just waiting on this guy who sounds like he's extremely torn on whether he wants to devote a reasonable amount of his time to professional football.
Little Brown Jug and Mary Had a Little Lamb are some of the songs that are being pointed out.
Yeah. Little Brown Jug, you're right.
I'm with you. If Rodgers was so all in on football and so football dedicated, that was one thing that nobody knocked Russell Wilson for. Like, you could tell that guy just flat out loves football, consumes it on a daily basis, and makes it his life's passion.
Who do you think's going to be better this year, Justin Fields or Kenny Pickett? Let's say Justin Fields, Kenny Pickett, and Mason Rudolph all start. Who has the best year?
You got to think about the situations that they're around too, and the Jets, I think, are still a little bit of a disaster. I'm going to say Mason slightly, just because I don't like the landing spot for Fields.
I think that Fields is going to be interesting. I don't think he's going to be great,
but
I think he's going to be pretty good, and I think they have a chance to surprise some people on offense. He's got two lethal weapons, Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. That much I know. Like, they're not just two decent players. I think those are two of the best explosive threats in the whole league.
Yeah, I just wish they would have got him a good offensive coach.
Who is the coordinator there?
Offensive mind.
Who's the Jets' offensive coordinator?
Aaron Glenn's the head coach.
I didn't ask that, Limits.
I know that.
But you wanted to prove, like Malzi, even when the answer is wrong, that you do know.
No, I just wanted to say it so that I can look up and say that Tanner Engstrad is the offensive coordinator. You ever hear of him?
No.
He's a former Lions assistant.
Nope. He was the Lions passing game coordinator.
That is an assistant.
I know. But I wanted to be more specific because passing
game. You wanted to disagree with me.
No, I didn't. Although you did get his name wrong. You said Engstrad. It's Engstrand.
Strand.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as bad as when I said the Zeitgeist. Zeitgeist. Or whatever in the
Rodgers
statement.
I'm sorry. I can't get over a tiny little version of Limits practicing the clarinet. I just, the sight of it is just incredible.
There has to be a picture of
me. Do they have a video of you?
Oh, there's got to be
somewhere. Tell your mom that we need a video of Limits playing the clarinet.
My dad's probably listening right now. If so, and he has a picture or video of me with the clarinet, I will pass it along.
Mr. or Mrs. Limits, please send along.